Who is that?
Don't you recognize me, Lilia?
You get your power, and I get my bodies.
In the end, all roads lead to me.
Rhea is...
Welcome back to A Stark Contrast, where we discuss the differences and similarities from Marvel Comics to their MCU counterparts. And we are your hosts, Jeffrey.
And I.
Hello, hello, and welcome back, everybody.
Welcome back.
Happy almost...
No.
Oh, happy Thanksgiving. Yeah.
It will be Thanksgiving weekend by the time this drops, but we're recording on the Tuesday before.
Yes. Yes.
We're grateful for you, listeners.
Yes, we are.
And grateful for you, Jeff.
Grateful for you too, Di.
Aww.
We're here.
We're here.
So yes.
Top news on our doc.
Usually Di kind of reads it all off, but I have volunteered to read this first top chat news.
Yes.
It is personally picked out by young Buck himself. And it goes, but... Bum, thank you, Bucky.
We'll
make sure to keep tabs on that one.
Mind blowing.
Yeah.
So for those who don't know, Buck is my little cat, and he stepped all over this dog, and he made some notes for us. And so, Jeff has so articulately articulated, and so thank you, Bucky. But as far as real news goes, so 'tis the season, and here's your reminder that the first season of Hawkeye is officially available to own, along with Loki season 2. So I added Loki season 2 late in the game because I saw a clip had surfaced, like a new deleted clip. Where have you seen this? Where Loki is just riffing off like names in the Marvel universe of people I was like, oh, I just saw that.
Yeah.
But you know, your girl pre-ordered Hawkeye because I am one of his biggest 8 fans in the universe. So definitely can't wait to own that and see the deleted scenes that comes out of that, especially with Kate and Yelena. But speaking of, there are also rumors of a season 2 of Hawkeye, as well as the Young Avengers finally coming together, maybe even named the Champions. And so, this is interesting because finally people are realizing, oh, they actually have a pretty solid team pulled together already. And there's also this footage of America, Ironheart, and Cassie Lang together. Mm. And,
oh, yes, yes.
And
yes,
they
yes.
stitched it together for the Disney cruise or Marvel cruise. And so anyway, that's pretty exciting. I mean, whether or not I'm seeing more stuff about a Wiccan series now than anything else, but that'll be interesting. All these, like, you know, all these Twitter leakers and
I know
people. I'm like, oh, God, here we go. But sky's the limit. And and lastly, speaking about the Hawkeyes, they're finally back at Disney California Adventure, and they managed to figure out a way to not boot Deadpool and Wolverine from
You can't.
And I think the Deadpool actor even said something at one point, like he's like, "Oh no, we're gonna be here." He finessed the 90 joke. He's like, "We're gonna be here till he's 90."
Exactly.
And so Deadpool and Wolverine are now. Or still at Disney California Adventure, and now they're telling a Christmas story instead.
Nice. I mean, Deadpool's like the perfect person to just keep because
it's so funny.
Even if he's not there or has his own thing, just have him, you know.
Yeah, he's so
pop
good.
Up.
Yeah, he's so great. It's so funny. I have a whole thing recorded, so I'll probably put that on our YouTube channel as well as our social. So keep an eye out for that. Have not watched. I've been so busy. I've not watched either of the Assembleds. Did you watch them for Deadpool and Wolverine or Agatha All Along?
I watched Deadpool Wolverine. I didn't get a chance to finish Agatha.
Ugh, but you're ahead of me. I still haven't. I'm not even started. I'm super excited to see it. How good are they? Did you?
It's always nice to watch and see the behind the scenes of the movie. See what it takes.
Yeah.
Especially like the grand scale of it. Mm-hmm. I think the part I'm most excited, or I was most like impressed about, was the production design of both. Obviously for Deadpool Wolverine, it was, you know, Ray Chan, mm-hmm. Ray Chan. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so they focused on him a lot.
Oh, amazing.
And how he was able to build like these certain like worlds and whatever.
Sure.
And then same thing with the part I got up to in the Agatha Assembled of how they created like the road and everything. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, it looks like everything like is all practical and it's everything. It's so cool. Yeah.
That's awesome. Can't wait to see it. So they're about an hour long, I assume.
Yes.
Great. So if you haven't yet, be sure to check those out. And then last but not least, both Marvel vs. Capcom Collection and Marvel Rivals are officially available for those who enjoy gaming. Can't wait to play. I've been bullied into playing Marvel Rivals, so that's on my wish list.
My previous employer, they edited one of the Marvel Rivals commercials. Yeah, oh,
that's cool.
And I was like, that's sick. Okay. Hell yeah.
I'm stoked. I don't usually play P2P, so I'm kind of like, we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
I just hope I don't get sucked into some crazy gaming world, because I don't play games. I try not to play games because I have addictive gaming behavior.
I am so the same way.
I know. I'm like, but I just 100% play,
everything. Honestly, for being honest, like Monday night.
Yeah.
It was Sunday going into Monday.
Yeah.
I think me and my friend, we played Call of Duty till like 2 in the morning.
See, that might be.
He was like, do you have work? He's like, because he doesn't have work on Monday. Mm. And then he was like, do you work? I was like, yeah, but, you know, I work from home.
Yeah.
I woke up the next morning and I was like, oh my God, I'm incredibly tired.
Yes, exactly. Oh, man. So, I mean, maybe it's a good thing I just started to brew my own cold brew. Might have to use it if I'm going to be gaming.
Side note on cold brew. I think my body is way too used to coffee.
Yeah.
Because obviously I start my mornings, like my day with it.
Yeah.
And there was one day, I think because I was packing or whatever, I didn't get a chance to make myself coffee. So I didn't have coffee for like the day.
Oh, no.
And I was just feeling horrendous. I think I had like a small headache.
Oh, no.
And then I was like, you have one of those? God, it's because I haven't had coffee this morning. Yep. But every time I have coffee in the morning, I'm like, I'm good. I'm good.
Yep. We'll go ahead and jump into this episode. So just a reminder, we are not experts. We don't claim to be. We're just a couple of nerds nerding out. And in this episode, we're nerding out all about death.
My favorite thing. And not enough of in the MCU.
That's true. Jeffrey's favorite topic. But in this instance, the character embodiment, death, who indeed was created by Mike Friedrich and Jim Starlin.
Wow.
So once again, Jim Starlin, if you hear the name Jim Starlin, more than likely attached to cosmic characters. So Thanos, Gamora, all of these folks fall under the purview of Jim Starlin. And so Death's first appearance, again, Death is an entity.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like how we've discussed the devil in instances and the coveted M word, right?
Yeah.
Like, how do you actually give a significant, this is the character's first appearance when, you know, they're an all-encompassing thing. So Death first appeared as the Grim Reaper in Marvel Mystery Comics number 10 in 1939.
Okay, whoa.
Yeah, in a story by creative team Beach Allen and Ed Robbins. And so this was under the Atlas Comics helm before it became Marvel Comics.
Mm-hmm.
And so, however, this female version we have now come to know and love in some instances, the noteworthy version, arrived in Captain Marvel number 26, cover dated June 1973, in a story called Betrayal.
Oh, wow.
And so for your enjoyment, Jeff, Captain Marvel, it is not Carol Danvers, because you have to remember Carol Danvers was not Captain Marvel until much later.
Wow.
So this is the first Captain Marvel, which is Mar-Vell.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so on the cover, Mar-Vell is seemingly toe-to-toe with the Thing. And there is a shadowy figure in the window back here.
Of course.
And so before we get into the the nitty-gritty of prices, do you want to give it a go as far as guessing the cover price goes?
The first 1939 one?
No. We're gonna base this off of this Captain Marvel. So 1973.
Okay.
About, again, like 10 years since the Fantastic Four have made their debut.
73?
More like 10 years since Spider-Man and X-Men.
I got it right last episode.
You did.
This is going to be tough. my heart says 12 again.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go 12.
You're going to go 12?
Yeah.
Oh, unfortunately, that is not correct. And although I can't scrub this to remove the marker I put on top of the screenshot, it is actually 20 cents.
Oh my gosh.
For this particular issue.
Gosh.
It's such a dicey thing. And there was nothing special about this issue. It just happened to be 20 cents. And so, as far as owning the issue goes, I was able to find a CGC 9.4 on Shortboxed for $343. Okay. And on eBay, a CGC 9.6 for $1,500. And then the lowest graded I found, CGC 7.5, signed by Jim Starlin, going for $200 on Shortboxed, and a CGC 6.5 going for $112 on eBay. And then the fair market value appears to be $275 to $372. And you can just get the regular comic for about $40, just as it is.
Okay.
Not bad. So if you're looking for a good Thanos key issue, a good Death first appearance, $40. It's yours. And you get a little classic Marvel at the same time. So, first exposure to this character. Did you even have a concept of who or what Death could be in the Marvel Universe?
I feel like I saw it on Twitter before anything. Mm-hmm. Like, well, when Thanos became like a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then like that concept of that comic of Death and Thanos.
Yeah.
Lady Death and Thanos, and like Thanos would be like, yeah, like whatever you want, I'll do it.
Yeah.
So I think that for sure, because of Thanos.
It's all because of Thanos, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know when, I guess it must have been maybe around the time I first read Infinity Gauntlet. And so that is essentially what led to Infinity War in the MCU.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's kind of when I was more hyper aware of the concept of Death, and it was definitely Thanos as well. Like, they're pretty much mutually exclusive at this point. Oh, here you go. Just so you know, I wasn't lying. It is 20 cents.
Mm. Oh my God, on my birthday.
Is it?
May 26th.
Oh, it's the issue number.
Oh.
But yeah, it is interesting.
Oh, issue in May.
Yeah. Yeah, it says May, but it's like, apparently it was actually on shelves in June. But either way, 20 cents. And so, Thanos and Death are kind of one in one. Like, you don't have one without the other. And so we'll get into that, obviously. And so I actually have a trading card of Death, which I have right here on the table for you. And so this card comes from the 1992 Marvel Impel set. And so the bio reads, "Sister to Eternity and Reluctant Object of the Mad Titan Thanos' Desire, Death is an abstract entity that holds sway over all living things in the universe. She is beyond good and evil, but her motives are a mystery as old as time itself. The only certainty about Death is that one day all life will feel her cold embrace."
Yeesh.
I know! Very foreboding. There's no cutting corners with this character. And so with that, we will get into it. And so Death, aka Mistress Death or Lady Death, not to be confused with the other Lady Death in comic continuity. Over the course of its comic book lifetime, Death has been depicted in a number of ways, metaphorically, visually, literally, figuratively, often regarded as an abstract entity. But we'll take it back to the very beginning, or at least Death's first formal appearance in Captain Marvel. And again, if Jim Starlin is connected to a book, it's pretty definitive that it's likely a cosmic book of some sort. And that stands true here because it takes place in Captain Marvel. And so Death, quote unquote, first appears during Mar-Vell's run of Captain Marvel, not Carol. And he and Rick Jones are sharing a body. So we kind of talked about Mar-Vell in our Carol Danvers episode. And so there's this moment in time where Mar-Vell and Rick Jones, who is another sub character that's been in, that was in and out of continuity with other titles, they're in the same body. And so they're talking to each other. It's almost like the Venom and Tom Hardy thing, where they can hear each other in their consciousness no matter who's in front of everybody.
Yeah.
And so Captain Marvel could just clang his bracelets together, and then they would switch places in their spatial body, right? Anyway, this the story is in the midst of this cosmic Skrull invasion, and this Skrull pirate named Scrag seemingly is at the helm of a chain of events affecting, you know, all of the superheroes, even the Fantastic Four, all while rumblings of Thanos' tyranny continue to surface. So you got to keep in mind, in during this era, Thanos had just made his debut in the Marvel Universe 4 months before this issue.
Oh, wow.
So he's super duper fresh. He's like, he is very much the hot new villain of the Marvel Universe. And so everyone is talking about this guy. And so that stands the same in this issue. And so while Captain Marvel and the Thing then go toe-to-toe, believing that one another are a Skrull. Mm-hmm. So this is a part where it's not quite Secret Wars, but everyone's like, oh, Skrulls are coming. And so they're like, are you a Skrull? Can I trust you? Hence the cover, why it's Ben Grimm going toe-to-toe with Captain Marvel, because they're like, I don't know if you're a Skrull or not. And so they're then met with Scrag, who appears to have been changed to stone. This is the very first image. Okay, here we go. Back it up a little bit. Ben Grimm and Captain Marvel are fighting. And then Skrull, this is Scrag. He's a pirate Skrull.
Got it.
And it's funny because they're like, oh, he's a pirate and a Skrull. Let's give him an eye patch. That's the pirate of him. Like, that's all it signifies. And so there's this one panel at the very bottom with this mysterious figure with glowing eyes, no face, like it's just shadowy.
Oh my gosh.
And a hood. And so, you know, like Scrag appears to be killed. He's changed into stone. It's very Medusa-like.
Yeah.
And so it's then revealed that Thanos is the aggressor. And so beside Thanos stand Super Skrull and a mysterious cloaked individual with glowing eyes and no features, aka Death, Thanos's only true ally.
Wow, of course.
And I think he says that himself, but yeah, he like announces their arrival, because he's like, again, he's the big new baddie that everyone should be wary of. And so as the entire saga continues, Thanos is on his quest to obtain the cosmic cube and become emperor of the universe, quote unquote. Though, mind you, the Infinity Gauntlet event doesn't happen for another 17 years.
Oh my gosh.
In 1991. So he's already going after all this stuff.
Oh, okay.
And it's only 1973. And so in these subsequent appearances, Death doesn't even utter a word. So Death is there, never says anything. Mm-hmm. And there's no face. So there's no facial suggestions or cues. It's just there's this presence looming in the background with glowing eyes like, you're going to die. And so, additionally, although I mentioned Death's first appearance was technically in this issue, a gender isn't actually given to the entity until January 1982 with the graphic novel The Death of Captain Marvel, which features a rendition of Michelangelo's Pietà on the cover. So, if you're familiar with that statue, the Pietà, it's the one of Jesus and Mary.
Okay.
And so, instead, it's Death and Captain Marvel. And so this graphic novel was Marvel's means of offing a less than popular character. Mar-Vell was just not well received anymore. It was kind of like, okay, we get it, superhero, whatever. And so Starlin wrote the story as means of also coping with his father's death at the time.
Yeah.
And he had cancer. And so Mar-Vell in the story dies of cancer. And he gone. He is done. And he is fetched by Death at the end of his life, very similar to what we may have seen elsewhere. And so there are a couple of beautiful pages near the very end, because it's almost like, you know, like, and you said this many times as well in previous episodes, is that there's like, there's got to be some stakes, right? If there's no stakes, then what really is the substance of the story? And so this graphic novel is so monumental in that there were actual stakes. This guy was dying.
Yes.
And so there's this whole beautiful like exit of life for him. And so Thanos appears to him in these visions and is like, you know, like, do not fear her, for she is merely that which awaits us all. And then Mar-Vell says, it is not that I fear her. It's just that I no longer need the illusion. And so the illusion in this place is life. So he doesn't have to pretend.
This is so like it's philosophically so deep.
Starlin is insane. He's great. So Starlin wrote and drew this issue. And so in that very moment where he's like, it's just that I no longer need the illusion. We see Death with her features.
Mm-hmm.
He covers her face and then reveals, oh, she's Death. She is the afterlife and or what not. And so at the very, very end, they kiss. And it's Death's kiss. And then they show his heart slowly stopping.
Beating.
And then he dies. And all of the Marvel superheroes are there to say goodbye to him. It's so like, oh.
My God.
It's so dark and sad. But a fantastic issue. And so Death's place in the Marvel universe is a dense, complex web of connections and storylines. Obviously, you know, due to the fact that she is capital D Death. So she's everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Like she doesn't have any, she's not tethered to anyone aside Thanos. She's not tethered to any one storyline, any one character set. She's all over the place. But you can bet most of the most interesting bits come courtesy of her admirers, which, you know, speaking of, we'll talk about later. And so before we dive into Rio and the MCU side of things, a quick reminder that although many may be discovering Death for the very first time thanks to the MCU, Rio Vidal has no comic book counterpart.
Wow.
And so,
it's a cool name though.
I know, it's a really cool name. And so while there is a character named Vera Vidal, she has no bearing on Rio or Death. The MCU's Rio is very much an amalgamation of characters from comic book canon ranging from witches to demonic characters. So she's a little bit of a lot of good characters that they probably won't use, or they may. And I know like there was some theory about her being Blackheart at one point because she says Blackheart and my heart is black and it beats for you and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
I think there's still room for Blackheart to actually come in, but we'll see. And so Rio Vidal, aka Death, portrayed by Aubrey Plaza. And so first and last scene in 2024 is Agatha All Along, created by Jack Schaefer. So, you know, not to super duper copy and paste over from the last two episodes we've recorded, but Agatha All Along essentially portrayed Rio in particular as the Green Witch, which in general terms refers to a witch that works in the elements, local land spirits, anything green.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, meaning nature. And so quick recap of her in this series. So after that whole, again, this whole first very amazing episode one and two, you get the sense that, okay, she and Agatha have beef. She then joins the coven, sort of, after a brief introduction of the rivalry. And then she was revealed to be Death in episode seven of the series titled Death's Hand in Mine. So I know we may have mentioned this in a previous episode, but when was the exact moment that you, aside the Funko Pop spoiling you, when was the point in the series that you felt like you had picked up like, oh, she really is Death? Or did you always believe that there was
Rio? Have known until the until
really,
yeah.
It really ruined it for
yeah.
you. But, oh, it's such a bummer. I'm kind of glad I didn't see it, but I mean, I believed it because I kind of figured it happened. But for me, I think it was the camp episode. So episode five?
Yeah.
That's when I was like, no, she's Death.
Yeah.
Because there's that whole Ouija board thing and the way that it spelled out Death. And yes. I was like, Death!
That's probably when I would have found out if I didn't.
If it didn't completely ruin you, yeah.
Yeah.
Funko, always. Movies, everything. It's always them. And so further down the line, she ultimately claimed the bodies that Agatha killed in pursuit of power, longing to claim Billy Maximoff. However, Agatha sacrifices herself instead and at long last receives the kiss of Death. You know what I was thinking about as I was doing this homework is that it's interesting to think about in that context because, yes, That means that Agatha had never been able to actually kiss death.
Yeah.
So they had a whole relationship where they couldn't
even really touch. No.
Touch. I guess so. Like they can touch.
Okay.
But
just that can't. A kiss of death.
Yeah. She can't have the kiss of death, or else she would quite literally die. So it's interesting to think about in that final scene where before she dies that they're kissing, and it explains the look on Aubrey's face, the way that she's conveying it, like she's almost surprised that, mm-hmm. oh, this is the first time they're actually sharing this affection.
Yeah.
It's very interesting, and in such a poetic way. And so there does not appear to be any particular reason why she took on the moniker Rio Vidal, but it's something we could see in the future, I guess. Because, yeah, I was reading that it's kind of noted that Rio speaks multiple languages.
Yeah.
She speaks Spanish in the episode, a couple of episodes, I think, but very, very briefly, like pet names and saying goodbye and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if there's a backstory awaiting her, but I mean, especially if they're not going the canon way, they have a lot to play with. And so from there, we will move on to aesthetics. So Jeff, the very first picture is a very interesting rendition of death. It is quite literally the Grim Reaper,
yeah,
without a scythe.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, it's a black robe and a skeleton. And then it advances to a more sophisticated yet seductive female version.
Yeah.
She's come a long way.
She has.
Since the original appearance. And she was almost genderless until, again, 1982. They've kind of beautified her along the way. And now we have Rio, who kind of looks more like the modern version, I would say. And Aubrey's version is undoubtedly an homage. And she's a combination of stylistic features, especially given the elements of being the Green Witch. So instead of the flat blacks and silvers, she's got this green element to it, which also looks better on camera, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Especially with a colorful crew like the coven. And so don't be fooled. Death's true form is still very much the skeletal image, whereas the more sensual feminine form is just for show. So it's like the mortal version that she takes on when she's in front of humans. But otherwise, she would be skeletal all the time. And then props to Agatha All Along costume designer Daniel Cellon and his team for Death's fantastic outfits.
Her, the way that it, like the skeleton face.
Oh, it's so
on
good.
Aubrey. It was just,
yeah. And it's a prosthetic. I mean, like,
so
even
good.
Even the nose. So I guess, yeah, they just kind of flattened her nose out, or it's just like it's an optical illusion of sorts.
Yeah.
Oh, so great. And so people, if you didn't know that's practical, that's 100% practical. And it looked great on camera.
So, she looks so good as Death.
Fantastic. I honestly never could have imagined that she would get that role, but I am glad she did because, oh my goodness, she plays it perfectly. And the more that I see people finally catching up on, you know, with the show on social media, the more that I see more love for her as mm-hmm. this character, and that people are going back to watch her on Legion to see her as the Shadow King.
Yeah.
Because it's so, like, yeah, you'll see tons of GIFs floating around. And yeah, it basically feels like Rio because she's kind of psychotic. But I 100% like her more and prefer her as Death than anything. So powers and paraphernalia. Once again, Death is an abstract being, but is nonetheless immortal and possesses immense power. So her list, you're going to say it again. She got everything because Death has and is not limited to, including nigh omnipotence. And so again, immortal, most powerful being in the world. Every lost soul belongs to Death, and Death can also reverse passage and return a being to life, albeit it's a rare occurrence. So we actually chatted about this in our Agatha All Along episode, and we were like, oh, can Death bring people back? Evidently, in the comics, yes, she can.
Of course.
So she can bring people back. She can keep them from moving on.
Got it.
So imagine if she brought back the wrong people, which she has done in the comics. Thanos has died. And she was like, whoop, gonna bring you back, and brought him back. So it's like, uh-oh.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, and so death in the comics also possesses immortality, aka cannot die because she is never truly alive, as well as cosmic power, which allows death to manipulate time, reality, space, matter, energy, or magic. She's like the gauntlet, but with people's lives, in a sense. And then immortality, in its definition, is the state of living a long, healthy life without aging or disease, while immortality is the state of living forever, regardless of aging or physical harm. So they're a little different. Death's got it all. And then in the MCU, death has a slightly different suite of powers in which it entails cosmic entity physiology. So that includes superhuman strength, durability, agility, immortality, levitation, and omnipotence.
Damn! Everyone has the same powers in the comics!
No, that's the MCU!
Oh, MCU. Oh, everyone has
the same. Well, it is the same. Yeah, it's the same. And then additional powers include shape-shifting, afterlife transport, soul manipulation, portal creation, telepathy, telekinesis, power absorption, immunity, healing, magic, and of course, witchcraft. Because, lest we forget, in the MCU, she is quote-unquote technically a witch as well. She's not a witch at all in the comics. So we're not going to dive into any Agatha as far as that's concerned.
But...
yeah. Speak your truths, Jeff. Speak your truths. That's why they're superheroes and supervillains.
Everyone just has the same powers.
Yeah, so it turns into a thing of like, okay... so who can actually beat who? Because it's like this insane, never-ending...
like, we just know that she can't die. That's it.
Right.
But she can take life.
But she can do everything, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. She can counteract everything. Oh, my gosh. So, again, we're not going to dive into the Agatha stuff. If you want to learn more about death and the interaction with the Agatha all along characters, you got to listen to our previous two episodes, because as we're gonna go about here right now from this point on,
yeah,
it is heavily comic skewed. So we're gonna learn a little bit about some characters we actually have seen in MCU a bit, so hang in there with me. So first, family, friends, and affiliations. So we're starting from the top. God.
Sorry.
A.K.A. Yahweh, which is interesting.
Yahweh! That is a Bruce Almighty reference, if anyone got it.
Yes, it is. And so in the Marvel Comics continuity, God is the alleged creator who has his own 616 rundown.
That's so...
which, as expected, draws parallels from biblical reference and the like. And so what I like to like kind of say in short form is that God had to go in front of his board of executives and was like, I got an idea for a universe. It's called the 616, and I'm going to have all these players in it. And then I'm going to keep building it into a multiverse, and it's going to be different Earths, and I'm going to have all these things. And they were like... okay, but how are you going to keep the balance? And God was like, I'll create a thing called death, and it'll keep the balance between the life forms and the higher beings. And they were like, okay. Go ahead. And he created everything.
I'm looking down this list of family, friends, and affiliations.
Yes.
And it just looks like it's all one word.
Yeah. Remixed.
It's all like one word, like names. Yeah. So it feels like I'm reading a Bible verse.
Yes. Yeah, exactly right. And so as we go along here, there is no MCU counterpart of God yet. Like, there will be some form of embodiment of God, perhaps, at one point. But in the comics versus the MCU, there's none in the MCU at this present moment. But in addition to death, God, again, created all these higher life forms. So, starting with death's siblings, we have Eternity. And so, I've found conflicting resources stating that Eternity and Death were forged as twins, whereas others note that Infinity is Eternity's balance, which could be due to recent canon changes and updates. However, at the end of the day, they are all siblings, and so Eternity itself is an abstract entity meant to represent time. So, at one point, Eternity kidnapped Death. This is weird because they're like, again, they're abstract beings. And so the fact that they have this drama is kind of funny.
It's hilarious, dude.
And so at one point, Eternity kidnapped Death, leaving Thanos and Deadpool, which we'll talk about later, searching for Death because they love her. They're in love.
Of course.
And so because of Death's absence, nothing else in the universe could die. So it broke the balance.
Oh, wow.
So
that's interesting.
That's interesting. So imagine, if you will, someone's walking down the street. They're about to get hit by a car. Eternity swept up, pulled Death out, kidnapped her. That person got hit by a car, still lived to tell about it.
That's crazy.
People would not die. And so that whole storyline, it involves a big kerfuffle involving Thanos and Deadpool. And so I wrote a very short, quick version on the side notes. And I put, Thanos curses Deadpool with mortality because he had immortality. He's essentially, he cannot die, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then kills him. Thanos gives him mortality, kills Deadpool. Death then only speaks to Wade because she's mad at Thanos. Thanos gets jealous. They go after Eternity to find Death. And then all this ish goes down, and then balance is finally restored when they get her back. So they like literally went to hell and back just to bring her back from her brother.
Mm-hmm.
It's drama. And so anyway, the funnest part of all, I said funnest, that's not even a real word and I'm using it anyway.
Is it not?
It's not. I mean, it might be now. Oh, yeah, it not. Usually was is not. But the most fun part of it all is that Eternity has made an MCU debut.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you were paying attention or if you even saw it, Eternity made his first appearance at the end of Thor, Love and Thunder, when Gore the God Butcher reached the gates of Eternity.
Crazy.
So he is that very interesting looking silhouette of a figure that's just made of cosmic.
Yes.
Background.
I know. I wonder if ever we're going to see that again.
Right, because it's like the most comic accurate anything that's ever been in anything. He looks exactly like that.
Oh, wow. Really?
Exactly like that.
Just like cosmic silhouette.
Cosmic silhouette. Yeah, if you look up anything. And it almost looks like two-dimensional in a weird way. But it's so cool. It was so neat. And so, yeah, Eternity is that entity. And so that thing and Aubrey Plaza are brother and sister.
Lordy, Lordy, Michael Jordy.
You think about it that way and it gives it a whole new depth.
Yeah.
Next on the list, Infinity. So Infinity is the abstract entity whose personification is that of space. So now we're crossing off space and time. Do you see a theme?
This is like the, it's like the board of just, the board of existence.
Yeah. Pretty much, right? Like it's all these existing
components.
It's
like the Infinity Stones, but yes. Literally if one of them gets destroyed,
yeah.
The world crumbles.
Right. Exactly. And so aside Infinity and Death's general sibling crossover, there's not much drama actually happening between these two. And so Infinity and Eternity are more of the counterparts when it comes to the balance between all these siblings. And mm-hmm. So they're the ones that get along pretty good. Eternity and Death obviously do not. But although we've not seen this character in the MCU, Infinity appears in two MCU films represented in sculpture or art form in both Guardians of the Galaxy. So the very first
scene,
well, after the death scene of you know, Quill's mom and stuff.
Yeah.
When adult Quill is on that planet, the rainy planet,
yeah.
Morag, on the door are all of these entities. Eternity.
Oh, wow.
They're all on the door. And Infinity is on that door as well.
Oh.
So we've already seen Infinity as well as in their appearance via Thor, Love and Thunder.
Of course.
So there's a statue somewhere. I can't remember exactly where, but there is a statue of the same looking entity as in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Mm.
Very, very interesting. And then that there is also Oblivion. And so... So
sounds like a medieval game.
That's also an amazing 30 seconds to Mars song. So Oblivion is the abstract entity representing non-existence and is also the progenitor of Death. So not Death's father, but kind of Death's father, but also kind of its brother. Infinity and Eternity, once again, are balanced, and so are Oblivion and Death. And then Death and Eternity are rivals, and Oblivion and Infinity are rivals. So they've kind of paired off in these two siblings versus two siblings kind of game.
Battle of existence over here.
Yeah, pretty much. It's the whole survival of the fittest kind of mentality, but they all balance each other out, so they can't.
Yeah.
And so Oblivion resides in the furthest corner of the universe, the primordial void, aka the domain in which all reality originates. So,
good Lord.
So, Oblivion himself has stated he watched the multiverse emerge from this void as well as die time and again. Mm. So, Oblivion has been witness to Miles Morales' universe perishing, perhaps. And so, it's a very interesting concept because, again, they're like kind of revived. They're playing with the idea of life and death and all these different ways, mm-hmm. and existence for that matter. And so, as far as the MCU goes, it's said that Oblivion has possibly been replaced by Entropy in the MCU, also visible on the walls of Morag in Guardians of the Galaxy. So, all again, these characters have all appeared in some way. They're kind of like the Celestials, where they're like peppered in.
Yeah.
Just like, oh, no one will notice. It's like all these eagle-eyed nerds are like, oh, that's Entropy. Oh, that's Oblivion from the comics. And so Guardians of the Galaxy concept art shows Entropy using the orb, aka containing the Power Stone, to kill beings. And so Entropy is one of Eternity's children in the comics. So they're all related. They're all these cosmic beings that are so dense,
yeah.
and so difficult to talk about. So maybe we'll get an opportunity to actually dive deep into them. I don't know if we'll ever see them in such depth in the MCU, but mm-hmm. I mean, one can hope, I guess.
These all sound like, yeah, these are like cosmic beings. Yeah, that like...
The highest level.
Yeah.
The highest level.
Good Lord.
Yeah. And then last but not least, there is also life. So, although not one of the original siblings, life was recently introduced into the fold as of 2022. Very new character. So the rest of them all originated from the early times of comics, but life was just new to the game as far as 2 years ago. Very fresh, not even 2 years, maybe a year and a half. And so in the comics, not much has been revealed about this character, and she only has three appearances to her name. So there's that. I don't think it went very far. She's not as compelling as the rest of the siblings, I think. And yeah, so no MCU counterpart there. And so this is when things get a little interesting as we dive into love interests for Death.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Oh, man, this is the meat of the episode right here. So first up, okay, let me just preface. Death is a manipulator.
I would hope so.
Death loves nothing more than death. Death is very much like you. You want nothing that but death to these characters.
Kill them all!
Is basically what Death wants. Doesn't care about
come walk with me to the other side. Yeah, if Avi Pazza told me that, I'd probably be like, yeah, I'm there. Like, what are we doing?
So Death has along the way kind of seduced who she needs to get her way. She doesn't care about any of these people. Just wants the death.
But does she only approach, this is a side tangent, does she only approach somebody when like they're going, like they're on the precipice of dying?
No.
Or it's kind of like even like she'll go to someone healthy and was like I thought you should go type of thing.
You know, I don't.
Or convince them, be like.
Convincing is a better word.
Got it.
And we will actually talk about something that happens in that vein because it's, again, it's not like she necessarily chooses who dies.
Got it. I was going to, okay.
But there's an inkling. And so when she sees an opportunity, because obviously she loves it, right?
Yeah.
So when she sees an opportunity that, oh, someone may perish from this decision if I influence something.
Uh-huh.
She just goes, okay.
Like, hey.
Let's see what happens.
You what?
Yeah. Exactly. What you doing?
Yeah. Like, yeah? You good?
Yeah, exactly.
How, you feel like dying today?
And so first up, on the list here, excuse my stuffiness, is a character named Walker. So Walker is a death god from a distant galaxy, heralded by its sentient beings who grew increasingly more powerful over time. So in his world, he was apparently the only powerful being. And so therefore everyone worshipped him like he was a god. So he essentially got like only child syndrome, where he's like, I'm the most special powerful god ever, became more powerful as a result. And so like those who would follow him, Walker fell for death. How these guys even come to see her is very intriguing, because death can choose who sees her. So she has influence on that. But in his case, he radiated energy because he was so powerful. So he wanted to, he would take life. And so that compelled her. And she was like, oh, he has what I want. And I want all the deaths. And so once he got to know her, he fell in love with her. Mm-hmm. And then he yearned to give all that he could. And so he killed all of the sentient beings in his galaxy.
Of course he did.
To give to her. And so, as it would be, death's affections wavered with Walker's disregard for life. So when she realized, oh, he doesn't even care about life, he's just like, death, 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 here. It's kind of like giving someone flowers, but they're just like, you just didn't care about them.
Yeah, yeah.
They're drooping, they're dead. And
sure.
And so she's like, thanks.
Yeah.
And then just kind of went, he's not entertaining me anymore. I'm not interested. And so, of course, that leaves him wanting to seek revenge and vengeance on her because he felt slighted, he scorned, and then it made for a great battle that, of course, involved Thanos. So Thanos came into the mix. He and Walker, I believe, battled, and then you know where that went.
Yeah.
And so there is no MCU counterpart, and considering the only Walker currently in the MCU is John Walker, we will not be discussing any further. So I doubt we'll ever see this character. He was kind of, again, short-lived, whatever. Someone who is far more interesting, second up, is Wade Wilson, Deadpool.
Oh, yeah.
So we discussed Deadpool and death quite a bit in episode 88 of this podcast. And so the long short of it is, Wade got entangled with death pretty early on, as she appeared to him during his Weapon X trials, and so refer to Deadpool and Death Annual number 1 to see the entire story. It was an origin story kind of added later in continuity. He didn't originally have that storyline. He was much more serious when he first came out, and then over time he became more humorous, and then they introduced death into the fold, which made things very interesting. And so generally, those preparing to cross over into the afterlife are the only ones who can see death. But after realizing that Wade was not quite on his deathbed, but could still see her, death found it appealing and attempted to seduce Wade into dying, which is the beautiful, amazing storyline that follows, in that he's just trying to die. He just wants Ajax to kill him. And he was hoping to reunite with death. And then that leads us to Wade Wilson, Deadpool, portrayed by Ryan Reynolds. And so we're not going to talk too much about them specifically, but I will say, if you ask a pretty hardcore Deadpool fan, or even Death for that matter, they compare Death and Deadpool to Mary Jane and Peter Parker.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Toxic.
That's accurate. But also the severity and the seriousness of the relationship is kind of that level where they should and ought to and belong together.
Yeah.
But it's not, nothing works for them. It's just, especially Deadpool and Death. Like, it's Thanos. We'll talk about shortly. But Wade Wilson, Deadpool, portrayed by Ryan Reynolds in the MCU. First appearance, 2009's X-Men Origins, directed by Gavin Hood, and last seen in Deadpool Wolverine, directed by Sean Levy. Oh, man. Like, at the time of recording our Deadpool episode, Death had not made her official entry into the MCU.
Mm-hmm.
But needless to say, these two have no crossover, at least not yet.
Yeah.
I'm still holding out that maybe we'll get to see it at some point, but recollecting the events of Deadpool 2, especially with how he was trying to die after Vanessa died,
mm-hmm.
Imagine if death was part of it.
I know, it would be crazy.
It would have been bonkers.
Yeah.
It would have been absolutely bonkers to kind of introduce her into that fold. I think it would have definitely changed the gravity of the film, but it also would have impacted the events of Deadpool 3.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, but it would be insane if, like, when Wade is in that space.
The weird limbo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, and it's like, he sees Vanessa, but then he sees death.
Yeah. It would be wild. And so, yeah, unfortunately, we have not seen them yet. Maybe they will interact. I think it would be an amazing time. I guess we'll see. Depends how much they veer off into Agatha land with her. And if they continue the whole witch coven side of Rio. But again, we'll see, because, you know, she's so fresh to the MCU. There's so much room for her to play.
Yeah.
And she plays an abstract entity, so she can do literally anything she wants to in the MCU. And so that leaves us with Thanos at long last. And boy, oh boy, was Thanos down bad. He is introduced with, you know, when they made their introduction together, you already get the sense that this is the only person he trusts ever in the world, in the galaxy. And so Death and Thanos, their whole era all truly begins with the ambition for power and control in the original comics. And so Thanos's conquest to appease and appeal to Death ultimately drove him and his actions against everyone in the universe. And so in recent canon, around 2013, with a title called Thanos Rising, it's revealed, or at least has now been written, that Death met Thanos in his youth, first appearing to him in a youthful mortal form. So I want to say Thanos was, at the beginning of the storyline, I want to say he was like 10.
Yeah.
And so this is, I mean, the artwork is very interesting. But the crazy thing is, again, this was drawn in 2013. But now looking at it, I was like, if this is supposed to be a teen Death, does she remind you of anybody?
Oh my gosh.
She kind of has the crazy attributes of Aubrey Plaza.
Yeah.
If when she's adult, like when she's grown,
like,
it
has like the same vibe.
The very same vibe. Yeah. And I was like, wow, they really picked a good person, actually. And so this, again, this came out in 2013. So this is Death in her human form. And so she came to Titan. And this is the whole thing. You have to remember, okay, again, we've not talked about Thanos. We have talked about him in other episodes, but we've not done an episode on Thanos yet. And so the interesting thing is that this is all during the time when, again, Thanos' mother was an Eternal. And so, wait, did we talk about Thanos? We have not talked about Thanos.
I was going to say, I think we have.
Did we?
I feel like we have.
I feel like we just talk about him so much that...
I think we have.
Have we really?
Yeah.
Am I about to eat my words?
And then we've talked about, like, his love interest. Like, Death is definitely one of them. And we've definitely have been like...
Oh, in Suisan. Suisan is why I, like, thought about it. We have not talked about
Thanos. We have not?
We have not talked about Thanos.
Yeah, the amount of times we talk
about
Thanos.
But we've talked about him so much, right?
You would have thought that we have.
Right. Yeah.
I think it's because we're not mentally prepared for the
amount. I don't think I know. So yeah, it's so incredible because this is during the time, again, Thanos' mother was an Eternal, right? And so Eternals, beautiful people. Clearly, Gemma Chan.
Yes.
And so, and Thanos himself, his father was a scientist. Thanos himself born with this deviant virus, right? Or whatever you want to call it, that made him purple and, you know, sack of nuts chin and stuff like that. Whatever Star-Lord said. Oh, I love Peter Quill.
That's and hilarious.
So he is an outcast. So during this time, he's an outcast. And so he has no friends. And so... he slowly develops friendships that are actually meaningful as a child. And so death follows Death, and a series of unfortunate events follows the young Titan as he's slowly lured into madness by her. And in true form, she rejects the advances. So it's so jacked up. This storyline is amazing. This comic arc is fantastic.
Okay.
And so it follows him, and you get the sense, oh, he's incredibly intelligent. He's a kind soul. Strangely enough, he's just a little weird Like, he likes to dissect animals, and you're like, oh, if you know anything about, if you know anything about serial killers,
oh, they're,
they love dissecting animals. Some, yeah. They love dead anything, right? And so you first, you're like, aw, Thanos was really nice when he was little. And then he and his friends all get together, and Death is like, oh, you should take your friends to this cave. And he's like, oh, but it's a forbidden cave. We're not supposed to go there. And she's like, oh, no, it might be really fun for you. And so again, she's manipulating.
Of course.
Okay. And so you have to remember, they're at this point, they're about 12, quote unquote, because Death is obviously so much older. Mm-hmm. She's had time to try out her tests and her manipulation. And so Thanos, a young Thanos, takes his friends to this cave, and he has like five friends. They're like actual friends. And they all go to the cave, and a cave-in happens. So he's stuck on one side. Mm-hmm. All the other kids are on the other side. And he's like, oh no, all my friends, I have to find them. And so he comes to meet these giant, almost like Komodo dragon looking aliens, right? Uh-huh. They're like in the cave, and he's like, oh, hello. And he's like petting them, and he's like getting along. He's like, help me find my friends. And they're like, chirp, 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 chirp. And they go and help him find his friends, right? They disappear. He finally gets through the rubble, thinking, oh, I've found them. And, you know, again, he's a teenager. He's like, I'm going to ask this girl out. Everything's going to be great. He discovers that the monsters have eaten all of his friends.
Good lordy.
They're all dead. And of course, Death is like, she's enjoying it. Yeah. She's like, yes,
I love this.
They died. And so he returns to school, and everyone's like talking about it. Like, did you hear? Thanos was the only one that survived. And so she then talks to him again and tries to, you know, it's almost like therapy for him, right? Because they're friends now. He at least has her. And then she goes, you should go back to the cave. And he's like, why? And she's like, you should seek your revenge. And so he goes to kill the monsters. And it keeps escalating, right?
Yeah.
And then he starts to get a thirst for blood in general. And so on Titan, you have to remember that it was perfection. It's kind of like it was displayed in the MCU. Mm. It was perfect. Everything was perfect, right? And so Thanos then discovers, like, he enjoys killing people.
He does. he does.
And so he keeps telling himself, this is the last time. I'm going to bury these bodies and that's it. And she goes, okay, it's fine. You don't have to do it if you don't want to. But, and she keeps seducing him, and he keeps killing people. And then she's ultimately groomed him to be a killer. And so Death then accepts him because, oh, he's killing for me now.
Yeah.
Ah, he's got appeal.
Yeah.
He has worth to her. So that just fuels the continued bloodshed. So the more he ages, the more he's like, I need to conquer. I need more power. Mm-hmm. I need to kill more. I need to give it to her so she'll love me more. And I have my partner. But despite it all, Death seemed insatiable, finally revealing that only ascending to God status would satisfy her. So she's taking it all this time, and it finally gets to a point where she's like, I have to admit, the only thing that will actually gain my love is if you become a god. And so this is the exact moment that he's like, all right, I have to conquer the entire galaxy for her.
Yep. I would too.
Oh my God, I'm just imagining Aubrey Plaza and Thanos. Like, oh my God.
Yeah.
That'd be so sick, though. It'd be so sick. I love it. And so, yeah, that's what started him down this path. And so now that is just the character he is. That's what he wants. And so the MCU made it a little different in that he was looking for balance, which is interesting if you think about it with Eternity and Oblivion and Infinity and all of them put into the mix. But he's a little different in the MCU, has more logic than just being sprung.
Yeah.
And then as for Wade, the rivalry between the two for Death's love was so great that Thanos, again, cursed Deadpool with the inability to die, and then made him mortal, then killed him and all that good stuff. And the short of it is that jealousy is crazy. Crazy, crazy. And so back to that whole Mary Jane and Peter Parker thing for Death and Deadpool, it just never worked out because Thanos was always there to interfere, like the black cat that he is, constantly interfering with whatever potential they had.
Yeah.
But yeah, it seemed authentic, at least with Wade and Death. And then they just kind of lost interest in each other because he moved on to like Shikla the succubus.
Got it.
He married the succubus. And of course, Thanos, portrayed by Josh Brolin in the MCU, first seen in 2012's Avengers, last seen in 2019's Endgame. Zero crossover, baby. Zero crossover. And again, the Infinity Saga was significantly reworked as far as Thanos' intention for bringing balance to the cosmos is concerned, none of which involved his vying love for and need to appease death.
Imagine she brings him back.
That's what I was thinking. To be honest, to be perfectly honest, because I think it was Andrew that asked in our Agatha episode, he was like, can death bring people back?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I don't know. But we don't know with the MCU version. Comic book can.
Yeah.
So, what if
like
she brought him back?
I mean...
Well, but there would have
to be, technically he doesn't exist anymore.
Right. But I also believe that in the MCU version, there has to be a significant
purpose. The only place he exists physically, because obviously the end of Endgame 2014, he fizzled out, right? Whatever.
Right. Yeah.
But technically the physical body of the original Thanos, his head is just cut off.
Yes, it's true.
On that planet he was on, the Guardian, he's still technically, just dead there.
Yes.
His physical body's still there.
Yeah.
How hilarious would it be, like, post that moment, like, they leave, and then you just see Aubrey Plaza walk in.
Oh,
and,
my
and she's like,
God.
She's like, oh, my God, my love, and then put me out. And you're like, oh, my God.
But this also brings up a good point in that the new ride that's going to be at Avengers Campus. Mm-hmm. Not to say that it's in the MCU, but it is a multiversal ride. And it is King Thanos that's at the helm of that ride.
Yeah.
So he exists somewhere. But oh my gosh, if she started bringing back people.
That would be crazy.
Pietro?
Would be crazy.
Pietro? That'd be amazing. But yeah, we'll see, I guess. Notable adversaries. So, again, I said it up top. She clearly has adversaries. She's death. We're not going to do this. We've talked a lot about just a pinch of the drama already. So let's just go to the relevant topic here. Because, again, we would be here all night. We don't have the time. And, again, Rio just came to the MCU. So we don't have a lot to compare anyway. But there is one person that we can talk about, and that is the one and only Agatha Harkness, who I decided to put in adversaries because... They are obviously
they did fight.
Love interest, but
yeah.
at the base of it, they are adversaries. And so, as previously mentioned here and there, and much to the dismay of many of fans, these two have little to no notable crossover in comic book continuity. Again, death is not a witch in the comics. Death is death.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is just something they've brought into the MCU. And then, of course, on the MCU side, Agatha Harkness, portrayed by Katherine Hahn, first seen in 2021's WandaVision, and last seen in 2024's Agatha All Along. And so we have, again, discussed multiple times by now, Agatha likes the bad boys, and thus has had a long-standing interest in death, their relationship stemming as far back and perhaps even further than the 1700s. So I did this math. I was getting down into the rabbit hole of it all, and I was like, okay, interesting, because, you know, thinking back at the season finale, obviously. And so it suggested that the two first met when Agatha killed her mother and the coven in 1693, reveling in power and death thereafter. Mm-hmm. So that brought them together, because once again, death is attracted to death. She was like, ooh, this person just killed a lot of people. Got to take them all over. Oh, she's kind of cute.
Yeah.
And then death was notably present during the birth of Nicholas Scratch in 1750 and his subsequent death in 1756. So,
jeez.
If you do the math, this then suggests that Agatha and Rio have known each other and or been entangled for 333 years in MCU continuity.
That's crazy.
Because Agatha All Along takes place in 2026.
Yeah.
So.
That's so long.
That's so long. So it is interesting. They have so much time to actually, if they choose to go back and forth on the timeline in future episodes or series featuring these two characters, they got all that time. all those different decades and eras to go through and moments in time too. So who knows what we'll see, because there's 333 years to play with there. But yeah, so, you know, as we all saw and know, she died. Agatha died. Agatha kissed her, went bye-bye. Now she's a ghost.
Yeah.
What happens to them next?
Who knows?
I guess we'll find out in a few years. Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. And that's that for those two.
Man.
Yeah.
Yeah, gotta see more.
I know, gotta see more. But yeah, I don't think... If they don't go the course of Deadpool, mm-hmm. I don't think we'll see actual love interests for the character ever. I think it'll just be adversaries that are flirtatious and stuff.
Yeah.
Like the comics, which is fine. Again, it's great. There doesn't have to be some great love story happening.
Yeah.
I think Aubrey Plaza makes death very compelling on her own. And then that leaves us with other versions and in other media. So I wanted to chat about two quick things. And so we haven't talked about variants in a while. And so this isn't a variant per se, but death has used human hosts when visiting Earth and most recently channeled herself through a woman named Marlo Chandler, who took on the mantle of death when the original chose to, quote unquote, retire after the two had bonded while Marlo was between the living and the dead. So what happened is Marlo got murdered.
Uh-huh.
Death was coming to Earth and was like, that looks like a nice body. And then she took it. And she hid. She hid away from Walker. Walker was pursuing her. I think it was Walker. Somebody was pursuing her. She hid in the body and mm-hmm. was like, you can't find me. And so Thanos was like, good, stay there, be protected. And then after the experience, Death was like, you know what? Actually, this seems kind of nice. I think I want to retire.
Yeah.
And then Marlo became Death. And then Death was like, actually, I want it back. And so came back. Anyway, so that was an interesting little segue for her. And Death is also present in video games. And so this is a huge one, actually, because... you know, we mentioned this in our Deadpool episode, but there was a 2013 Deadpool game,
mm-hmm.
and it bears repeating that Death, voiced by April Stewart, plays a pretty big part in storyline, ultimately guiding Wade through his missions in the entire game. The entire game. She's not just a cameo. She's in everything. And so...
Oh, wow.
If you don't have this game yet, good luck, because Activision's license to create games using Marvel characters expired in 2014, and the game Deadpool game was delisted for good in 2017 after a string of short promos and availability during the Deadpool film debut. And so, Jeff, I put a clip here, and it starts exactly where I wanted it to start, but... We don't have to put this in the episode. We might get flagged for copyright. So just in case, just covering our asses. But I want you to watch this very quickly because we may never get to see this on screen.
Okay.
So I want you to enjoy this because this game, I was genuinely, this was my first full exposure to this version of the character. And I love her in the game. Oh my God, she's so good.
Hey, babe. Good to see you.
Mm-hmm. It's been a long time, darling.
What am I doing here? What are you doing here? Why are we dancing?
You've bled out, my love. And now we're together. As always, our time is short. I need you to do something for me.
Oh my gosh.
So she would guide him through the game.
Yeah.
And again, very present, very romantic. And it's like, oh, I kind of miss it, actually. And so who knows if we'll ever get to see that. That's what made the game so good. But yeah.
So that game's not available to...
It is no longer available. If you can find a rip of it, maybe.
Yeah.
I have a copy of it. So...
Oh, wow.
But I believe it's only PS2 or 3.
Oh, my gosh.
Because it's 2014.
Yeah.
But I do have it.
Wow.
I have a disc of it. I loved it. Again, I loved
it.
It's so good. But yeah. So good luck if you want to try and find it now. I'm sure there's an emulator somewhere.
Yeah.
It's a good game. It wasn't super duper heralded, but people who played it and enjoyed it,
mm-hmm.
they're my people. So almost was. Ha! Surprise!
Yep.
Zero zip zilch. It appears that Aubrey Plaza had it in the bag, and frankly, I would believe it. So nothing. Absolutely nothing. She just from the get-go.
Yeah.
Whether or not she knew she was playing death, I do not know.
Yeah.
But as far as anything is concerned, she had it from day one. So, future of the character in the MCU. We've chatted about this a little bit, but yeah, what's your official verdict as far as seeing Death again?
I think we'll see her. I just don't know to what extent.
I know, right?
Like,
how much are they going to play with her ability to just be anywhere?
Yeah.
You know?
Like, is she going to have a specific, is she going to have a very, like a story arc
right.
at some point? Or is it just somebody she, or is she somebody that just kind of pops in and out?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know people would like to see her more.
Because what happened to her at the end of Agatha? They didn't even show her after the episode 8.
What was it? It was like...
Because after
Agatha... Oh, it was just like the choice. It was like either... One of you has to come with me.
Right.
And
that's right. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
and
yes,
Agatha
yes.
is the one. And she was like, all right, cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
And that's it.
And that's it. And now she just disappeared into the ether.
Yeah.
And then we were left with that beautiful grave for Agatha and then Billy. And that was it. And then, so we've not seen, we don't know where she went, where she hid off to,
yeah.
who she went to go bother. Like she just disappeared,
yeah.
went on about her business. So I think the sky's the limit with her. I mean, she has every opportunity to go anywhere. It would still make sense.
Yeah.
Because, she can change and format herself to any need that she has. So, mm-hmm. yeah, sky's the limit. I don't know. I would just like to see her, like many of these new characters, I would just like to see her again as soon as possible, where it fits. Not
yeah.
just shoehorned
yeah, yeah,
in.
Yeah.
yeah. I would like to see her somewhere meaningful. But just not in 2028. I would like
know.
To see her in the next year or two. That'd be great. So suggested reading. This was pretty easy for me. 1982's Death of Captain Marvel by Jim Starlin and Steve Olif. 1991's The Infinity Gauntlet series from Jim Starlin, George Perez, Ron Lim, Yosef Rubinstein, Tom Christopher, Bruce Solotoff, Max Scheel, and Ian Laughlin. 1998's Deadpool and Death Annual number 1. This is the origin story that we all did not have before from Joe Kelly, Steve Harris, Reggie Jones, and Chris Sotomayor. And 2013's Thanos Rising from Jason Aaron and Simone Bianchi. So, with all that said, that is the end of the show.
Oh my gosh.
So, for next episode, it is that time of the year, dear listeners. And we're wrapping up the latest season of the show with two goodies.
Mm-hmm.
So, next up, we'll have our mini Marvel number 16
mm-hmm.
with on-video counterpart. Followed by our final episode of the year with an old-fashioned Marvel mashup.
Oh, yeah.
So this is actually the last character study for the
wow.
year. That's kind of crazy to think about. But anyway, thank you to all of our Patreon supporters and a special We Are Groot salute to Andrew, Jenny, Katie, Ashley, Ariel, Sherry, Tyler, Edgar, Joe, Liz, Andrea, Laurel, Ed, Robin, Melanie, Nats, and Chris. Follow us on social, STRKCNTRST, and if you like what you hear, please review, rate, and subscribe. Also, we have video on Spotify now.
Yes.
So maybe for the mini Marvels, you'll find a special little something. If you follow us on social, you'll get that too.
Woo!
Woo!
Once again, thanks for listening. We will catch y'all in the next one.
See you later!
Bye!
Bye!